Isn't that amazing, God? We have seen how grateful He has been giving us Christ, the only things that make us together, the only things that we have in common. And through Christ, He gives us the talents and the strength to build each other up. It's not an individual race, an individual journey, but it's something that we do together. And that comes from the heart of God, that heart of the community that God has in the Godhead that is reflected in the church. And we heard from Filippo about the face of God. And this morning there is a topic in my heart that is really beating, is since weeks that is beating in my heart, because I was reading this event in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that is the calling of Samuel, and it's very famous, very common verse, passage. I mean, everybody knows about that. But I read that verse, I heard preaching about this verse many times, but when I read again that verse, there was something, a detail that was really touching my heart. I really felt to share with you. So why we now don't go to in our Bible to read in to read this passage that is in 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli's eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, and was lying down in his home place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel and said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel," and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." We all know that Samuel was this boy that was the fruit of the promise of the sterile Hannah, that she was praying in the temple with all her heart, and there God gave to her the promise of her heart. And we see how she, in the beginning of the book of Samuel, she decided to commit this promise, this son, to the Lord. And Samuel was the prophet that God chose to give to his people, because Eli had problems with his household, with his family, with his son, that were not honoring God. So for this reason, God chose to Samuel to replace the household of Eli. And we see how in the beginning of this chapter, the first thing that is underlined is that the voice of God was rare, and the vision were not frequent. So the environment was a place of silence, where God was not speaking, his voice was not so frequent, so the people were not used to hear his voice, and maybe this could be the reason why, the clue that we have, why Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God. Even he lied that he was a servant of God. He was a priest. He was serving in the temple. He didn't understand straight away that was God calling him. Maybe we think, oh, come on, Samuel, the great prophet, master prophet, a genius boy. He must be a golden boy. Maybe as we read in novels or we watch movie about heroes, maybe he has to be this special boy that he knew everything. He had a special anointing on him. But we see how this boy was just available. He was serving in the house of the Lord. He was ready to say to God, here I am. He didn't have anything magic in him. He was just a boy that was available in that time. It was God was speaking to my life. He was saying, I want to speak, but maybe you are living a moment of silence. A moment maybe you are not used anymore to listen my voice. You are not used anymore to have vision in your dreams or in your heart, in your mind about what I want to speak to you. And maybe you are living in this moment now, as maybe was for Eli, it was for Samuel in that precise moment, as is written in the Bible, that there was a moment where the voice of God was rare. So sometimes silence can give us comfort and rest, but sometimes can scare us because there is something that is unknown. We are always alert because we don't know what can happen to our life. And maybe God is willing to speak to us. He wants to call us as he did with Samuel. But now we are living in this moment of silence. And maybe we can feel like a sense of rejection or a sense that we have been cut off of this communication. And maybe we are discouraged from this. But in this moment, maybe God, we think that God is not speaking to us. But maybe other things are speaking to our life. Maybe our voice in our mind are speaking to us. Maybe the voice of not feeling enough to do something, or the voice of our self-esteem, or the voice of our pride, or our revenge towards something. And this voice in our mind are so loud that God would like to speak to us. And we live in a moment in which God is not speaking, a moment of silence from his perspective, but our mind is going on. And we think, and we think, and we have all these thoughts. And maybe we can be even discouraged and say, Lord, but I need an answer. God, I need a confirmation for what I'm doing. Lord, I really need to know from you what I have to do. But maybe we don't perceive an answer from God. We don't perceive a voice coming. We just are full with our thoughts that bring us in a place where God looks unreachable. But the good news is that God wants to speak to our life. As he did with Samuel and Eli, today God is saying, your silence is finished. I want to speak. And the question could be, how? How is going God to speak? In this moment where he looks so unreachable, how is going to give me a confirmation, give me an answer? And we are going to see this later. Now, what I was really was touching my heart is the second verse speaks about Eli blindness. And Eli became blind, and yeah, it could be a consequence of physical condition, or because he was getting old. But we know that in the Bible, blindness is very connected to sin, or very connected to spiritual problems. And we see that he had a lot of problems in our household. And in this moment where God was going to speak, he was blind. And blindness brings us in a place of vulnerability. For example, if I take my glasses away now, even if I see, but I will see you not perfectly. And even if I will not be blind, I will feel very, very vulnerable. If I will feel a voice now, a voice that I don't understand that comes from heaven, I will be scared because I don't have the control of the situation. So let's think, if a person is blind, it's even more difficult to really be careful to what God wants to speak to our life. And maybe we are not living in a place of silence, but maybe we are living in a place of blindness, where maybe we are so focused to the familiar situation that we have as Eli, or our physical condition, that we have a limited vision to that condition and not being able to see the great picture that God has for us. And maybe this is bringing us a sense of being exposed and be disarmed, because we cannot see what the spiritual realm is going around. We are focused on the earthly thing, and that really brings us in a place where God is willing to speak to us. He wants to approach us, but we are unwilling because we are still thinking about our condition. Maybe we have the problem in front of us. We have our familiar problem, our physical problem in front of us. Even if God is going to speak to us, we are blinded from that problem and saying, God, yeah, but how can this gonna happen? You see this, you see how bad it is, you see how impossible it is, how you are going to answer to my prayer, how you are going to really speak to my life and give me strength, give me encouragement. And blindness take away from us spiritual strength and sharpness in really understanding and recognizing God's voice. So we see these two men of God, the boy Samuel and Eli, that they were living in the temple, close to the ark of God that was a symbol of God's presence. And we have God's presence in our hearts because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And they were not sharp to understand and recognize God's voice. Maybe it was for these two reasons. But in our situation, now that we have recognized these two problems that maybe we are passing through, maybe these two conditions that we are passing through, how God is going to speak to our life. And because I believe that this morning God is going to speak to our life. And I think that God, He has a plan. God has a strategy. And He will use the same strategy that He used with Samuel and with Eli. How God spoke to Samuel? God didn't speak to Samuel with a shaking voice, with a heavenly voice, a voice that broke the ground. Because if we read, God called him three times, and for three times the boy thought that was Eli that was calling him. So God was calling this boy with a familiar voice. He was calling him with something that he could understand. He was not calling him and say, I am the Lord, with that shaking voice that maybe could scare that guy and disorientate him. And God doesn't want to do that in our life. God is not going to speak and give the confirmation and the answer that we need, just opening the heaven and speaking with a voice that can shake the ground. In fact, there is a story in the Bible that there is the experience of the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11-13. And I will read these verses for you. The Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah her heat, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the gate. And behold, there came the voice of him. So the prophet of the fire could expect God with presenting himself as the Almighty, as this voice that shake everything. But in these verses we see that God was in a low whisper, in something that was not great, not so amazing, but was little, was the right way to touch his heart. And this is the way that God wants to speak us in our situation. So let's just stop, look to amazing sign, extraordinary sign, or some greatest experience. God wants to speak to our life, in our ordinary life. As Samuel, every day he was working there, serving God in the temple, in the same way, in the ordinary, God wants to speak to our life. And he has an answer. He has the confirmation that you need. He has the comfort that you need. What you are seeking from God, he has it. But he was saying to me, because I was looking for confirmation, I was looking for answers, and God was saying to me, just stop. Stop looking for big signs. Stop looking for prophetic words or such a great experience or great vision. I can do it because I'm God. I can present myself in that way. But I choose to speak to your life in a way that you understand, in a way that is familiar to you. And this is the story of the cross. I mean, the God Almighty, he could just come and present himself with all his glory and power, but he decided to make himself vulnerable in a body of a human and come in humility to understand us, to touch our eyes in the everyday life. I mean, Jesus was walking as we walk today, was passing the same things that we pass every day. Because that is the heart of God. God doesn't care to impress us. God doesn't care to be like, you know, the Aladdin genie that performs great signs and miracles. I mean, he's God, he can do that. But that's not his heart. Because he's more interested to speak to us in a way that we can really understand him. So, you don't need extra sign or what amazing experience, very unique experience, very extraordinary experience, but God in the ordinary, with a voice that is familiar to you in your everyday life, want to speak to your life. Maybe if you are living in a place of silence now, where the voice of God is not familiar to you anymore, because you are so full of these voices in your mind that keep on saying to you, you will never do it. It's not going to happen. The promise will not happen. You are not good enough. The problem is still there. Your family is still in that condition. You will not have it. God has a plan. I want to speak to your life with a familiar voice, with a voice that you may understand in your everyday life. He will break through and he will speak to you. Or even if you are living a place of blindness now, where your sight, your spiritual sight, your emotional sight has been blinded because of the situation in front of you. Because maybe you were expecting that the things were getting better, but actually the reality is not that one. Maybe it's getting everything worse. And you feel vulnerable, even rejected by God. Like God is not caring about you anymore. But he still wants to speak to you. And this morning he says that he has a plan, he has a strategy. He is not a liar. He's not playing with your dreams. He's not playing with your feelings. He's not playing with your future. And your physical situation, your emotional situation, your spiritual situation is not too big for him to break through in your life. We should just, as he said to me, to stop looking to our situation, because our situation are taking away our spiritual sight, our spiritual sharpness in hearing. And God knows that. And he will make sure that you will have the word that you need, that you will listen again his voice in a way that you may understand, in a way that is familiar to you. Maybe it will come through a brother or sister in the church. Maybe it will just come as a thought in your mind. Maybe it will just come while you are working, and the word come to your heart, or you read a verse, or very simple, like a low whisper, as happened with Elijah. And finally, if you are blind, usually blindness in the Bible is correlated to sin. So if you today, you haven't still responded to the gospel, if you still are not sure or in really making Jesus the savior of your heart, the king of your heart, this morning you have the opportunity of get rid of this blindness. If you today, you still are not living as God, your king, Jesus, the king of your life and the savior of your life, you have this opportunity. God is speaking even to you. Maybe until now you were thinking, okay, this preaching is not for me because I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved. Okay. But no, God is interested even in you. Because he loves you. He gave you his only son, as we heard from Filippo. He made himself understandable to you, coming on this earth. So stop saying, Jesus, you cannot understand me. I don't want to be a Christian. I want to live my life because I know better than you. My past wounds, what I've suffered, because he suffered all of that. He suffered rejection. He was put to the cross by the same people that he was sharing love. The same people that maybe he performed miracles to them, and they said, crucify him. The same people that he thought that were close to him were putting him on a cross and preferring a thief to him. I mean, can just imagine, you just give all your life, all yourself to someone. You spend years of your life investing in this person, and finally you eat with them, you stay with them, you are always with these people, and after what they say, they prefer a thief that they don't know, a murder that maybe could go and kill their relatives to you. And this is the heart of Jesus. Unconditional love for you. And it's not true that he's not interested in your life. He wants to give you life. Don't see as Christianity as a life of renounces. Christianity is the true life. Not because it's a religion, not because it's a lot of philosophy together, but because it's true and is alive. I mean, this is the beauty of the gospel, that all the other philosophy or way to think, I mean, they are static, they are dead. But let's see even today how God was speaking and moving. That's alive, because it's his spirit that is true and it's alive. So why now we don't just close our eyes and pray together. Really, Lord, I want to pray in this day, Lord. You that know the heart of these people. you that really you created them with a purpose, Lord. And maybe some of them are still struggling to let you enter in their heart, Lord. I really want to pray for salvation for these people, because to give all that you have for them, to give life, Lord. I really want to pray instead for all that people that already accepted you, have you as a savior of their life, but in this moment are living in a place of silence, where they are discouraged because they think that you are not interested in them, because they cannot listen anymore your voice, Lord, because of what they are passing, Jesus. And I really want to pray that all the voices, the other voices in their mind, in their hearts, they want to distract them, that want to take away their sharpness, can be taken away in the Jesus' name now, Lord. And really that they can experience your voice as a low whisper in their heart, Jesus. That the time of silence is finished, and today is the day of the encounter with you, Jesus. I want to pray even for that people where their familiar situation, their physical condition, their emotional condition, or even the devil, Lord, took away their spiritual sharpness. They took away their spiritual sight, Lord. For all those people that are very taken from the situation that are passing through, and maybe this problem are shouting to them and saying, it will never happen. You see, you prayed, but it's still there. Your physical problem is still there. Your familial problem is still there. Maybe as Eli, your sons or your relatives are still doing bad things to you. But in this moment where these people really feel vulnerable because they cannot see anything, Lord Jesus, I know that you have a plan, that you have a strategy. And this morning, Lord, even in the next week, you will speak to their life in a way that they can understand, and their eyes will be open. The eyes of their heart will be open. And you will speak to them in a familiar way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in your name.